You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
I'd like to go through two different books of the Bible, one the Old Testament, and one will be in the New Testament. The first will we go to, the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8 we'll read first, and then we will be going to Matthew chapter 26. But first we'll read Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation I'll be reading from. It says here in Isaiah chapter 53, starting verse 7, "He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep is silent before the shears. He did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, and that his life was cut short or cut off in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people." If you would, please, go to Matthew chapter 26. I'll be reading from verse 62 and the A part of 63. And then I'll be reading from verse 66 through 68. Amen. It says here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 62, it says, "Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, 'Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?' But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, 'I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.'" Verse 66, "What is your verdict?' 'Guilty,' they shouted. 'He deserves to die.'" Verse 67, "Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists. Some slapped him, jeering, saying, 'Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time?'" Amen. We're speaking on the thought today, the Savior who chose to remain silent. The Savior who chose to remain silent. You know, justice sometimes is hard to come by. In this world, we find that courts do make mistakes, and sometimes innocent people suffer for crimes they did not commit. That's what happened to Jesus when he was crucified 2,000 years ago. Though he had done no wrong, uttered no threats, committed any crimes, he had hurt no one, but yet they decided that he had to die. So they trumped up these false charges against him and shuffled him from one hearing to another. In the end, they got what they wanted. He died a criminal's death, hanging between two thieves. But he didn't deserve to be there. When Isaiah considered the death of the Lord, he stressed how Christ responded to unjust accusations. How no one came to his aid to testify to the wrong way he was treated. So today, if I can have your undivided attention just for a little bit, let's begin by looking at what Jesus didn't do and what Jesus didn't say as he stood before his accusers. Isaiah says in verse 7, in Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and harshly treated. Yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before the shear is silent. It said it again. He did not open his mouth. Sometimes you are known by what you don't say. Isaiah prophesied that Christ would not open his mouth to defend himself, even in the face of death. Then hundreds of years later, that came true. Look what the Bible says in the New Testament. As he stood, Jesus stood before his accusers. Matthew chapter 26, verse 63 says, but Jesus remained silent. Matthew chapter 27, verse 12 says, Jesus remained silent. Mark chapter 14, verse 61 says, but Jesus was silent and made no reply. Mark chapter 15, verse 5 says, but Jesus said nothing. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 9, says, but Jesus refused to answer. Yes. And then lastly, the Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 9 says, but Jesus gave no answer. When he stood before Pilate and Caiaphas, Jesus would not defend himself. His mind was made up. Let's look what Peter said. Look what Peter said to the scattered, persecuted Christians in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 23. He says, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, Peter says. And you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. Have you ever done that? Somebody say something, you say something back. Nor he threatened revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judged fairly. You see, according to Peter, following Jesus means that sometimes you will suffer. Even when you've done nothing wrong. When we suffer unjustly as Christians, we share in a tiny portion of what happened to him.
Help us, help us.
Though he did no wrong, he was betrayed, tried, denied, and crucified. Though he never sinned, he was greatly hated, and they plotted to kill him. When we walk close to Christ, be aware. Be aware some of the same things will happen to you and I. Yes, those close to us will disappoint us. And some may even turn their back on you. But it's how you respond that makes the difference. Peter just pointed to Jesus. As he watched Jesus go through all the things he went through that night, he looked at Jesus and said, he did not retaliate. You know, when we are insulted, our natural sinful inclinations is to return insult for insult. You know how it is. Somebody call you a dog, you call them a rat. They call you a dog, you call you a snake, you call them a rat. But Jesus chose a better way for us. He never said a single word. When he stood before Pilate and Herod and that mean old crowd, he uttered no insults. He made no threats. When they scourged him, he did not retaliate. When the soldiers put the crown of thorns in his head and pressed it down in his skull, he didn't curse them. When they drove the nails in his hands and feet, he didn't threaten them. When the standbys spat at him, he didn't spit back. When they swore at him, he didn't swear back. You know, you find out what you really believe when others mistreat you. Sometimes the real test of your faith is what you don't do. Sometimes you find yourself being a better Christian by not saying anything at all. According to Peter. I said again, according to Peter. Jesus, following Jesus means sometimes you will suffer, even when you've done nothing wrong.
Amen.
The greatest honor for any Christian is to be like Christ.
Amen.
Do you really think that Jesus was a helpless victim that day at Calvary? He was the Son of God. He had the power to call down a legion of angels to set him free. He had but said a word and all of heaven would have came down to his aid. He was truly the silent Savior, who having all power in his hands, decided not to use it against those who tormented him. I love the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. when he said, and I quote, "We must say to our enemies, I love you, and I'd rather die than hate you," unquote. That's heavy. Isaiah 53:8 says, "Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died, that his life was cut short or cut off in midstream." Who protested the death of Christ? All the miracles he did and healed the sick and raised the dead, no one came. Who spoke out against this miscarriage of justice? Who came to his defense? The answer is no one. Not one soul spoke up for Jesus. The Jewish leaders were so enraged with this Jesus that they were determined to kill him. Fueled by fear and jealousy over a Galilean rabbi who they could not control and they did not understand. So they paid off Judas and they arrested Jesus at the night and put him through 6 hearings before morning. And then stood by as the Romans put him to death. Yes, he was cut off, Isaiah says. Some would say he died before his time. Did you not know that Jesus was only a young man in his early 30s when he died? You know, when a man dies young, we normally think of all the things that he might have accomplished. The songs that he might have composed, the books that he might have written, or the stories that he might have told, and on can go the speculation. Some people say when you die young, that we have died before our time, that we die too young, that we die too soon. That we die with work unfinished. That we die with dreams unfulfilled. And humanly speaking, there is some truth to that. But you know, we can't say that about this young man who died young, named Jesus. He's the only one person in history never left behind any unfinished business. Oh yes, his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only person who can come to the end of his life and say it is finished. I mean, with absolute and total truthfulness, he had finished everything he set out to do. And to let you know, to make sure that he wanted everyone to know that it was finished, he cried out, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." Meaning the successful work that he was set out to do. You see, nobody can say it like Jesus. Because it's only the Savior's cry of victory. Jesus paid it in full. The price for our sins. You see, that's why we dance. That's why we clap our hands. That's why we jump up and down, because he paid it in full. That's why we get excited. There's nothing more that God could do to save the human race. His work is finished. So he stood up and then stepped down from his throne. Oh yes, he stripped himself of his glory. And Jesus came down through 42 generations. He was a virgin born in a manger. He walked this earth. He did miracles upon miracles. He healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the thousands to prove that he was the Son of God. But he didn't stop there. He went to the cross. They died for your sins and mine. They hung him high, stretched him wide. He was there. He suffered. It was there he suffered and died for you and I, your sins and mine. But with his last words, he said, "It is finished." They took him down from that old cross. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. He laid in the grave 3 days. Oh yes, but early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power over sin, death, and the grave.
Yes, sir.
Why? Why did he get up? Simple. So that you and I may have eternal life with him in heaven. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.